One of the problems is that we don't count in the Indian Amitra Klolus, we only count Mr. Scorpio. This is an example to what we do. Well, you do what that means. You should keep all of this. You should all be social. And it's a reference to all of the Tariq Mitzvahs. That doesn't deserve to be counted as an independent Mitzvah. And we quote Tana from the Shikra. It says like this. The Tana refers to this Scorpio. Does that mean we should keep all the mitzvahs? The Ramban in the Talmud Aryan Chodesh gives a different, has a famous interpretation. He says, no, that this is a specific mitzvah. It's possible for a person to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Parashanish Kochen and still to be another Rishus HaTorah. The person, let's say, always wants to be with women. But sometimes his wife will be a Nisa, she'll be Asura, so he'll marry more than one wife. But sometimes she'll be a Nisa, and I'll have 10 wives. And every night he'll be with another wife, all day and all night. And food, everything is absolutely glottal. And he'll go and at least, he'll be freshing. He'll be eating all day and all night. He'll be gnashing on potato chips and popcorn, cracker jacks, and eating meat and drinking wine. All the wine is kosher wine. All the meat is glottal meat. Everything is kosher. So what's wrong? So all the women went to mikveh. They love his wife. What's wrong? So that's what the Ramban says. He's a violation of this mitzvah of Kadosh Yisrael. A person can be observant. He can be strictly orthodox in observance of all of the 612 mitzvahs and still be in violation of this mitzvah, the 613. A person has to act in a fashion of Kedusha, not to act as a novel Vishnu Sakari. How does that fit in with Pasuk Kadosh Yisrael to Kodesh Ami Hashem al-Kodesh? How do you read the end of the Pasuk? We should act in a proper fashion. The Pasuk sounds like it's telling us the halakha, the drop of Kadosh and Tiyu, Ki Kodesh, Ami Hashem, okay? I am Kodosh, and I created all of man, the Tzelem Elokim, and everybody has the potential to act in the fashion of Kedusha. Hashem commands us to preserve that Tzelem Elokim, the halakha, the drop of, to preserve that Tzelem Elokim that we all have within us. So Kadosh and Tiyu, Ki Kodesh, Ami Hashem, Kech, and Kehan, and this fit in, we should not act in a fashion of novel Bishu Tatayra, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kodesh. He doesn't have 10 wives. How do you say this? He doesn't live around Nasheraya all day. What does it mean? Shimon Shkot has a beautiful essay in Hagdamah to his classic Sefer. He wrote a Sefer Shari Yoshef, and Hagdamah to the Sefer has Divrei Drush. So he has a comment on this. Do you think that the way the Ramban reads the Pasuk seems to be the following? That Kedusha means that God always does bothers. God is not interested in doing anything for himself. He didn't create the world because he is in need of the world. He's not lacking anything. He created the world, that's how some Kabbalah sources write. The Teva HaFeglait, God is kind. He has within him this feeling of kindness, and if there's no world, then he's not to shower the kindness upon. Strange explanation, but that's what it says. Teva HaTeglait is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to have to whom to be made this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because he never does anything for himself. But the Pasuk says we should also do things for others. We shouldn't be selfish. If a person is going to mash all day and all night, what does anybody else get out of that? He gets something out of it. He's enjoying the food. He's going to be with women all day and all night. What does he have a good time? Okay, the women have a good time also. But he's with all of these women. He's mainly interested only in giving himself a good time. But I'm not going to say everybody should fast on anything. No one should eat any food. We're all going to drop dead. You have to eat a little bit. The Pasuk says in Mishnah Tzadik, I say, Vanasha. A real Tzadik doesn't overeat. He doesn't ask. He's not going to be overweight. A real Tzadik only eats and say, Vanasha. And the Yoragua and the Pasuk in Chavakut, the Gemara says in the end of the Ramakut, after the Gohar gave us 613 mitzvahs, and then finally he says, Go Chavakut to Hedira Mamacha, Alacha, and Chavakut came along and he said to Nebuwe that the essence of all the Tzayat mitzvahs is the one mitzvah, Tzayat and the Nasa Yisrael. What does that mean, Tzayat and the Nasa Yisrael? A Tzayat will live with his Amunah, the Ika mitzvah is Amunah, it's have Amunah not going to talk to him. So they quote in the Bir Agra. All of the Bir Agra were not written by the Menachem, they were written by students. But some Bir Agra quotes the Shem Agra. But he thought that Tzadik and Menasa Yichya doesn't really mean to emphasize Emunah. Usually we understand Gemara that a person has to be mechazik himself in the Yud Gimel Ikari Lamud. That's where this person says, Baruch HaBakir Lamud HaMalachas, Emunah is the most important of all of this. You can be strong in Emunah, then everything else will follow. So the person of the Roman Goyim, that he doesn't think that it means that, the word tzaddik HaMenot HaYisrael means, the Minas HaHisapkut. That the word tzaddik here has the same connotation as it has in the Pasuk in Mishlei, tzaddik HaYichal HaSeiv HaNafsho, he's mistapping the Mashiachla. He doesn't have tender, he doesn't desire what belongs to other people. And even what belongs to him, he doesn't desire more than he needs. He doesn't spend so much money on clothing, he doesn't spend, he doesn't eat so much, and he doesn't run around with so many women. And so he takes care of himself. The person, of course, has to be self-centered in his circumstances. He has to take care of himself. But the dog doesn't have to do anything to take care of himself. That's how Shimon's Kup interprets the comments of the Torah Kohanim on this part. The Kedosh and Tiyu, Kikodosh Ami Hashem Alakesh, the Kanoim have a comment in the Tisroch, Kedosh and Tiyu, the Rizofa commands of all of us that we should act in a holy fashion. Rochel Kamoni, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us we should be on the high level of Kedusha that he is on, and the Baruch Hu, because he continues to say not so. Kikodosh Ami Hashem Alakesh, which implies Kedushasi, my level of sanctity is above the level that you can ever attain. So what was the Hava mean of the Torah Academy? What was the Matzon? Where do you see with the Pasuk? Where do you see with the Pasuk? Where do you see that Kedushat and Lamayla Mekedushatkan? The simple reading of the Pasuk is we should be Kedoshim, Kedushim, Kedush. We are all created to tell and receive a halakha to God. We should go in the ways of God. So where do you see Kedushat and Lamayla Mekedushatkan? That Hashemim doesn't explain. That part he doesn't explain. That others explain. That the word Kedoshim is written Chatzavah, and the word Kikodesh Ani is written Molevah. That perhaps is the punchline of the comment of the Torah Kohan Kedushat in the Mahal Kedushat Chem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kedusha is Kedusha Maleya, full degree or full Yida of Kedusha, whereas the Kedusha that we can attain, that we are coming to observe, is a lower level. That's why it's written Chatzavah. I mentioned a few times there's a sefer about some girl from Germany. It's not a prominent figure. He wrote a whole sefer on Moleh Lechasse B'Tanah. So he quotes every Joshua in the Gemara that he thinks is based on a Moleh and a Chasse. We had a little bit of Tzidus. So the Gemara has a comment in the first paragraph of Tzidus. Sometimes the word Naira is spelled in Tanah Nun Ayin Resh Hey. Most of the time it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh. So the Gemara has a drasha on that. How come sometimes the Moleh, sometimes Chasse, the Gemara has a drasha on that? And this, so that's one place. And then the famous words from the Zohar Zayin, Yisrael, one is this above, one is that above, and one is a Bar Kes, and one is a Bar Yud, and that famous vessel from the Zohar Zayin. And more than that, not so famous. And this rabbi wrote a whole sefer collecting all the drushes in the Gemara that he thinks are based on Mom and Hashem. So this is one of them, Kedosh and Tiyu. There's another one on the Tzul Yom, in Parshas Korah Duma, Parshas Korah. It says, V'yizah ha-tohor ala tomei. So the word tohor is spelled tesei resh. Not spelled tesei bar resh. This rogue thinks that that's the drasha that the Gemara says. The Gemara says that one of the 10 issues that was a heated debate between the Tzuka and the Tushin during the period of the Baal Shem was when you have Parah Duma water to be Mitzahar, someone is a tomei name, you have to have Hazosh Mishri Shvi, the person went to a funeral, let's say, on Monday. So you have to have Hazor on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Shlishi, and then the seventh day after is going to be Sunday. I didn't give an example of it. When you're going to a funeral on Sunday, but then you can't do Hazor Shvi on Shabbos. It's there in the Rabbanon. They don't allow Hazor at Shlishi Shvi on Shabbos or Yom Kippur because it's the second morning of the Rabbanon, because it helps to do the Tahara. So let's say a person went to a funeral on Monday, so you can't have the first Hazor until Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Shlishi, and then Sunday or the next week is going to be Hazor Shvi. And if he has Hazor Shlishi Shvi, then he's able to go to the mikveh and become Tohar. By another Tomei, by any other form of Tumi, go to the mikveh whenever the prescribed time is, either before Shkia, after the Shkia, and after Shemin Kiyam, whatever the case happens to be, you go to the mikveh and you acquire your Sahara. And by some days, the Sahara, the Tfilah in the mikveh, doesn't accomplish Sahara unless it was preceded with the Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So during the period of the Baal Shem, this was being practiced from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till after the Churban HaBayis, in the days of the Amoraim. The Moshe of Moshe Rabbeinu in Egypt, they still had Korah Duma water in Eretz Yisrael. Kavraya Medzat and the Galilah, the Moshe has a lotion. Taish is quoted a lot of times. Mar says we need a Chavraya, the Tamir Hachamim, and the Tzairim in Shabbos, the Paraduma water, and the Galilee in Eretz Yisrael, they still have little Paraduma water left. You can't make a Paraduma, but there's not change based on English time. So when they ran out of the Paraduma water, that was it. Because when you prepare the Paraduma, you have to be Mazda and Lecha Chamikash. So they had for a while, even in the period of the Avalon, you still have Paraduma water. So during the Bai Shemi, there were big disputes between the Zukim and the Zushim. So one of the 10 issues that was a hot debate was, he's our Tohar al HaTameh, the one who's sprinkling the water on the Tameh. The one who's sprinkling the water has himself be Tohar. He is himself is Tameh, he cannot be Mazer. What if he's Tameh, and he went to Mikveh, but he didn't have Har Shemesh yet? The thing is that one who goes to the Mikveh becomes Tohar with respect to eating Bai Shemi. If a person goes to the summit, he's not permitted to eat Maitre Shemesh. The person says, well, the item in the end of the summit. You read the Maitre, you say, I did all the mitzvahs properly, I did not consume the Maitre Shemesh in the state of Tumah. So it's not possibly denied that a person in the state of Tumah is not permitted to eat Maitre Shemesh. So the Mishnah says that if a person goes to the mitzvah, it says 11 o'clock in the morning, he can eat Maitre Shemesh. Either way, when he comes out of the mitzvah, he can eat Maitre Shemesh. But if he's a Kohen and he wants to eat Shuma, he's not permitted to eat Shuma until Hayr Shemesh, until Sefer Kohen. That's the first Mishnah Brachas. Yishash HaKon Minachnos and Lechol Vichumosu. And if he wants to eat Kohen, so sometimes that's also not sufficient Hayr Shemesh. If he's one of those four people who has to bring a Kohen, Zav Zav, your letters on the Torah, so he's a Mechusa Kippurim, even after the Hayr Shemesh, even after going to the Mikveh. And after having the Hayr Shemesh, it says that Kohen is following the Spirit of the Mikveh, still has to bring the carbon in the Beit HaMikdash to complete his Tara process, and only then he'd be allowed to eat the carbon. So the Tzukim, say in the Chumash, that the person who is Mazer, the Paraduma water on the Sunday, has to be himself so. What degree of Tahara does he have to have? Let's say he just went to the Mikdash, but he didn't yet have Hayr Shemesh. Or he already had Hayr Shemesh, but he didn't yet bring the carbon. So he's a Zabzabi right in the Sunday. Is he considered a Tomei or is he considered a Tohar? So the Gemara has an achlokes between the Tanoim had. The debate is Man Bai Shemi. The Tzedukim, who didn't follow any of the traditions of the Torah and Alpeh, they said the Tohar has to be Tohar, and you cannot be mad if you yourself are in full yom. If you just went to the Mikveh, and you didn't have Hayr Shemesh yet, so you cannot be mad on someone else. And the Chachamim insisted that it's not so. That a person who went to the Mikveh, even if he didn't yet have Hayr Shemesh, he's not allowed to eat Shuma. But basically he saw it when he gets to Chulim. If he touches Chulim, he won't be Mitame. Basically he saw it when he gets to Maitre Shemesh, he's even permitted to eat Maitre Shemesh. He saw it. He's permitted to do the Hagat for Aduma, even though he's not a full Torah. So the Gemara sounds like the Darshanim from the Pasuk. He's a Tohar al-Atame, even though he's only a Tvuyom. Where is there a Drasha in the Pasuk? Where does it say like this? That this and then the Gemara says that the Imam Bai Shemi, with such friction between Zukim and Tushim, that the Chachamim used to go out of their way to demonstrate that we don't follow anything that the Zukim say. Even their Chumash. Not only do we not follow their Chumash, we're not allowed to follow their Chumash either. So they used to have people to participate in the Achir of Paraduma, the doctor, they would be Mitami them the same day, they'd insist they should go to the Mikveh, and they would be doctor, do the Achir of Hakara with people who are Tvulayom. So they would have to believe them, Shalat Zukim, to show that their Chumash, the Chumash are also wrong, the Kulas are wrong, the Chumash are wrong. The young father, the Kodesh Mata, everything was kaka, everything was wrong. So they quote this part of Jesus, Tal HaLatani, that's the source, but this halacha that is for Yom is permitted to do the Asiyas Paraduma, to be Nazir, what do you see in public? What did you have to hide? And this says that this author writes, he thinks that it's in the fact that it's written Chatzar Vav. Tahar is usually spelled Tesei Vav Resh. It is spelled Tesei Resh, not spelled Molei. That means that he's an incomplete Tahar. He only has an incomplete Tahar. Like over here, we think that the drush is from the word Kedoshim Chatzar, as opposed to Kekodesh Ani Molei. That's just as far as the where did the Tanoim see the drasha from? Rav Shimon Shkrob doesn't discuss that. He discusses what is the Tanoim driving at? What do you mean? Ahava means that we should be on the same level of sanctity as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then if the Torah comes up with the Chiddush, no, Kedushasi Lamayim with Kedushaskan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level of Kedush is higher than that we can ever attain. What was the Ahava mean? What was the Maskana? What did it mean? So he thinks that the Pshat along the lines of the Ramban. You think that the Pshat and Kedusha is when people do for others. Just parenthetically, it sounds like that in the Medrash on Rus. The Medrash Rabbi on Rus says that this little Megillah has no halachas in its God. It doesn't have halachas in it. as all the halachas of Gemis and all the halachas of King and Siddur. That's what the Medrash says. That this little Sefer of Luz has no son of the Torah, has no Yisrael, does not have any halachas. Why does it written? In order to teach you Matan Skoran Shem Gom Leich HaSodim. That because Ruth and Moabia were so kind to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who was her husband and was her two sons, she was so kind that she took care of her. And then Boaz was so kind to Ruth and Moabia, so they got the prize that their descendants are the Malchus Beis Dovid. They won the best prize in the world. They're the ancestors of Dovid HaMelech, and the Melech HaMashiach is going to come from them. Rabia Kharam Shal Gomli HaSodim. And usually we say that the essence of the Book of Ruth is all about Gerus, about the Kedushas Yisrael. It tells you how the non-Jew becomes a Jew. That is the two fitting together. So it sounds a little bit as if the definition of Kedusha is to be Kantabas, Minas Chasabas, that's the essence of Kedusha. So that's the Hashemish Kab thinks is the Pshat in this process. The Pasuk tells us that if the Gomer is Kaddish in the sense, he never does anything. He doesn't just need popcorn and cracker jacks. He doesn't have 10 women. He doesn't do anything lahanoas atzma. He does chasadim to others. He only does for others. He never does anything for himself. So our Kaddish Baruch Hu commands of us, Kaddishim to you, we should also do for others. We should be kind to others. So Yochel Komoli, one might mistakenly think that our Kaddish Baruch Hu is calling upon us to be altruistic. We should only do for others. We should never be... We never do anything for ourselves. Then the Russia continues, Hashem doesn't explain it, the Russia continues to say no, Kikodesh Ani, the implication is, to be shot in the Milam is Bishatman. But it's also the only one who never does for himself. Human beings always have to do for themselves. Hashem interprets the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, where Hillel says, Amen, a person always has to be egotistic, he always has to be doing for himself. But if his understanding of himself is only himself, so that's terrible. It's going to be he doesn't even care about his wife, he doesn't care about his children. So that's terrible. But he always has to do himself, but he has to understand that himself includes his wife, and when he has a family, himself includes his children, and it includes his parents and his cousins, and includes the whole community that he lives in, and includes the whole cloud of it includes the whole world in a certain sense. So really, a person has to be out for himself. And so the soul is not out for himself, but the soul only does for others. And he asks of us to do for others, but not in the same way he does that. He does purely for others. We shouldn't even try to attain we shouldn't even dream of such a thing. We should be encouraged only to do for others. So Rav Shimon holds that that's not right. And then Anili, you have to do for yourself. However, in Anili Atzmi, if the definition of Anili is only me, myself, and I, and I don't include anybody else in myself, so that's more Anili, that's terrible. So we have to do for others because others are an extension of ourselves. But not that the principle is really the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for others than he really does for others. He doesn't do for himself at all. Not that he's doing for himself and the whole world is an extension of himself. He does that. He wants to do for others. It's an interesting interpretation. In other religions, they preach like that. That we call upon man to do everything for others and not to do anything for himself. So Rav Shimon says that that's unreasonable and that's what the halacha is, that's what the Torah God and commented on the passage, that the halacha doesn't require that. So you're just unattainable. The Parsha has a blend of demon being of the Amok and the Ramah. They're switching back and forth sometimes within the same pasuk. You have half of the pasuk is been out of the Amok and half of the pasuk is been out of the Ramah. You have the demon of Lora Aviyai. There is a din of Kibbut Aviyim and there is a din of Mora Aviyim. The Gemara Kiddushin explains it two different things. Kibbut Aviyim means to give service to the parents. I should refer you to the Gemara Kiddushin not long ago. Kibbut is Machilo, Mashkehu, Malbish, Malbish, Umano, Machus, and Moshi. If the parents need help walking, if the parents need help getting dressed, if the parents need help eating food, so to take care of all their physical needs, that's called their Kibbut. And Mora is to have respect. We usually translate Kibbutz to have respect for the parents. And as you quote, we know that that's not really the correct definition. Kibbutz means to give service. The service has to be given with a smile, has to be given with an attitude. If the son puts down $1,000 bill on the table and says, here, buy all the food you want, and he curses the father, he's not there to be Kibbutz either. Kibbutz has to be with the proper attitude. The Gemara says sometimes the child, Yesh Machel Adar, Patsyayne. He must have sometimes the child can feed his father pheasant, and he's in violation of Kibbutz Aviyim, because he puts the food down on the table. He comes there on Shabbos and he finds everything from the meal market, whatever, and says, here's your lousy food, and enjoy your Shabbos. And he slams the door and he walks out. He says, not yet to Kibbutz Aviyim either. Not only not yet to murder Aviyim, because he shows disrespect, he's not yet to the Kibbutz either. The Kibbutz shouldn't be just to service the parents without the proper attitude. And then the Gemara says sometimes he makes his father work in a mill, difficult work, and he can't tell them about because that's his form of Kibbutz Aviyim. He wants to tell the whole Medrash. And one occasion the father was drafted to the army and he's going to get killed in the army. So the son said, I'll go. Not to the army for the war army, but to work for the king. So the father was an old man. It was full of pockets. He didn't go work for the king. So the son had a job working in the mill. They told the father, you take over my job and I'll go and I'll substitute for you so that way the Carmelo. Even though he made his father do hard work, but that was in lieu of the more difficult work that the father would have to do. So the son was in fulfillment of Kibbutz Aviyim under those circumstances, because he was helping out the father. That was the lesser of the two evils under those circumstances. So Kibbutz means the service of parents helping them out. If they need the help, look, if the father is helping him out and he wants to make his own cup of coffee, and you run under his feet, you can make a cup of coffee, get in his way. So that's not Kibbutz Aviyim. The father wants to feel that he's healthy enough, he's done enough, healthy enough to take care of himself. So the son should love himself, brother, whatever the father needs, whatever the parents need. That's the definition of whatever services they need. And they would appreciate that's the definition of keeping. Whatever services they would prefer not, and my father doesn't want me to tie shoelaces. He's still helping up to tie his own shoelaces. So that's not the fulfillment of shoelaces to be manual, to put on his shoes. He wants to feel that he's able to put on his own shoes. But if the parents would appreciate the assistance, then that's called keep. And Myra is to show respect for the parents. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, why does it say Ish? We don't have any neutral gender. In Hebrew, everything is either masculine or feminine. There is no neutral gender. So despite the fact that Kol HaTarikul is written here, Kedoshim Tihiyu, it doesn't say Kedoshos Tihiyu. But it applies to the women equally. Which indicates to us that despite the fact that everything in Tanakh is written, the Lashon Zachar applies to the women as well. Unless it says Ish. And it says Ish, it usually means Ish, but no Isha. Unless the Gemara has a drasha that it's not so. Like, Yigach Sharisha Shariyeh. So what does it mean, Yigach Sharish, Sharish, Velo Sharisha? Mark says, no, it's different Russia, what the word Ish means. But you very often, I don't know, usually, very often the word Ish means to the exclusion of women. So over here is a problem that says Ish, Ima Vyagifiro. So as far as I can, this only applies to the men, it doesn't apply to the women, but then it says Tira'u. It says, it should say Ish, Ima Vyagifiro. A Tira. It's dumb, as if it were plus, you switch it from third person. The second person, Tila U, the second person, and Isha, the third person, stops switching from Nista to Noha. It's another problem. But it's switching from the singular to the plural. So the truth is on Bikra, one can say, Kalish these. Each and every one of you, Tila U, you should all fear your parents. That's a simple shot. The Rashi says, Zel Shuta, that's the Pashim shot. When the Drasha and the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, the Gemara quotes the brightest in the Torah Kahana, and it's called the Sugya of Kibbutz Aviyim, the end of the first Torah Kedushin. Ish really means Ish below Isha, and Tiro means the plural, that women are also obligated in Kibbutz Aviyim. So what is it? It's a contradiction in Eibay, in the same topic. It says Ish, and then you say Tiro. So the Gemara says, in theory, in principle, the women are just as obligated as the men are in the mitzvahs of Kibbutz Aviyim and Mor Aviyim. But very often, due to circumstances, the women are simply not seeking the oven. They don't have the ability to fulfill Kibbutz Aviyim. Why not? The Tesis explains on the Gemara what it means. There are boys in California who grow up in New York. Boy can't learn in New York in Yeshiva. He meets the girls. They live in New York. They get married. Where is he going to work for a living? He moves into back to California to work with his father. The father is busy. That used to be normal in New York. Children would join the father's business. But the father lives in a different city, so the couple moves in. To the father's home. So the mother-in-law from New York calls up her daughter in California. Could you please come help me go shopping? So the daughter's going to take a flight, and go help the mother go shopping. And the mother says, oh, I'd like someone to cook me Shabbos. So the daughter's going to go from California to New York to cook a Shabbos. That's unreasonable. There's a limit to keep it out of the air. It's within reason. Keep it out of the air. It's a mitzvah. Basically, the mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov. Part of your appreciation and gratitude is there. So let's say someone was so kind to me, he gave me $1,000 check. And my father, he liked me very much, gave me $1,000. I have Hakaras HaTov, I'm obligated to give him back $1,000 check. I just undid the whole favor. Hakaras HaTov doesn't mean you have to give back 100% the whole favor that he gave me. I have to give him back everything. No. I have to do something else. In exchange, not to the same degree, a little less. You're not going to be able to give that. So, as far as I tell you, even though the parents give their lives for the children, everything centers about the children. When the babies are young, everything centers about the children. The parents stay up all day and all night and everything is all about. And the parents take on extra jobs in order to get kitty clothing for the children and to send them to the best schools and so on. But nonetheless, the children are not mechuyev to give a hakaras hatov when the parents become old and they need assistance. The children are not mechuyev to center around everything around the parents and give everything back to the same extent as the parents for the first 10 years of the children's lives, to the age of 10. We're going crazy around the children. So the children are mechuyev for the last 10 years of the parents' lives to center everything. Not mechuyev to that extent. Allah says, the Gemara has a machlokes about this. And we pass from that kibud avid mishalah below mishalbein. Means that time my father says, Hershalah, I'd like to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he's thinking I should pay for his trip. So I said, okay, give me your credit card and I'll be happy to call up the travel agent. I'll drive you to the airport. He says, no, keep it out. He wants me to pay. So the Allah says, I'm not mechuyev, even though I'm a wealthy person. If my father has money and I have money, that's not included in kibbutz. Kibbutz is mishalah below mishalbein. The father has to spend the money. Son is not mechuyev to spend the money. That's not part of kibbutz. So Shulchan Aruch, they extend this idea, mishalah below mishalbein. It doesn't only mean that I don't have to spend the money. The last Ramah in Siman Reish Mem, the Siman of Kibbutz Aviyim, so the last Ramah writes, let's say the boy is in love with a certain girl and then he introduces the girl to the parents. The parents don't like the girl. They say, we don't want you to marry that girl. Whatever, some wild reason. They don't want him to marry that girl. And the guy says, but I'm in love with the girl. They say, keep it up. You're not allowed to marry the girl. So the Ramah wants them, you don't have to listen to your parents when it comes to a shidduch. Sometimes it's not wise not to listen to your parents. Sometimes the parents have more experience. They know what they're talking about. The children just, the child just infatuated, just fell in love with that, realizing that this is a disaster thing. Sometimes it'll be his utter destruction. He's going to marry this girl. Okay? But the guy has intelligent parents and he has a good relationship with his parents. So he'll realize that, and the parents are intelligent. Sometimes the parents are not intelligent. Sometimes the parents have a different perspective on life. So what they think is the best shidduch is not that the parents are more observant than the children, less observant than the children, more terrible, less terrible, whatever it happens to be. And they're looking for different things in life. They don't realize who their child is. It's a different story. But the Ramah doesn't mean you should never listen to your parents' advice when it comes to marriage. Ramah would also agree it's a good idea to listen. But he says it's not the case. So there's nothing wrong with the shidduch. Just the parents are unhappy. They don't want them to marry that girl. But Allah says that there's no deen of kibbutz aviyim. So the Zohar Gaon in the commentary on Shulchan Aruch at the end of Siman Reish Mem gives you the three reasons for this psak halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So the one reason he gives it for getting married is a mitzvah. And since the son is interested in doing a mitzvah, and the parents are telling him, he says, I can either marry Rachel or Leah. My heart really dictates I should marry Rachel. And the parents say, no, marry Leah. He says, okay, so marry Leah. And get married. The same. He's going to get married anyway in June. He's not getting married today. He's going to get married in June anyway, or in September, whatever it is. So they're not going to postpone the marriage. So if that's the case, so the parents are not really preventing him from fulfilling the mitzvah. He tells the parents they have two possibilities. And either girl is going to marry me, and I really would prefer to marry Rachel. And the parents say, no, we want you to marry Leah. So okay, so he goes tonight on a double date. He takes out Rachel and Leah together. And he proposes to Leah instead of to Rachel. He wants to propose to Rachel. And the mother says, no, propose to Leah. Fine. But usually that's not the way it goes. That's not a double date. He doesn't take out two girls. And if he doesn't marry this one, he'll marry the other one. No. The parents say they don't want him to marry these girls, so it's going to take him another 6 months till he meets the right girl, until he warms up to that girl, until they decide to get married. So they're postponing his ability for still a mitzvah of getting married and raising a family for another 6 months. And that's based on the thought that Yishin Nidol Kirosh, Akshayshu Tishmaru, that the Dina must keep it up, only apply when it's not in conflict with observance of the mitzvah. But if the parents ask the child for a cup of tea on Shabbos, and the only way to give them a cup of tea is by being Mahal Shabbos, and they're not like, okay, they should say that he's tomorrow. There's no din of covered habiyas to any human being. If it's in conflict with the Lord of the Torah, there's no din of Kvod HaMelech. The Gemara says the din of Kvod HaMelech doesn't apply if the Melech calls upon the people to do an Aveira. There's no din of covered habiyas to any human being if it's going to involve an Aveira. So Rashi writes every half. So the Avicha Chayav is a Kvodi. That's the implication of the Torah. That's like in one part. Each and every other you know, but on the condition that Shabtai says Tishmar. The Lord of God has one explanation that the post can give for this deal. Why do children not have to listen to the parents if it's a good shidduch? It is a good shidduch. If the parents want, we shouldn't keep it up. You shouldn't listen. But then the deal of keep it up doesn't apply because they're preventing him from fulfilling the mission. They're telling him he should wait till he meets another girl, another couple of months. He's not supposed to do that. The second explanation that the Lord of God gives is that the din of kibud av only applies if the parents ask you to service them. Machil, mashkin, manil, motzi, machnis, and so on. The parents are telling me they want me to become a doctor. I say, I don't want to become a doctor, I want to become a lawyer. No, my mother wants to be able to grade my son as a doctor. She doesn't want me to become a rabbi. So the parents have no right to control the children's lives. I was saying, my mother's going to tell me where I should live. But I don't want to live there. I want to live in Texas. I don't want to live in California. She tells me she's going to chart out my whole life for me. So that's not proper. That's not included in Kibbutz Av. That's where I was born. You've only got paid. That's the post to the like that. But Kibbutz Av only means servicing the parents. And some of the parents are going to tell me whom I should marry. That's, they have no right to expect of me. They have no right to run my life. That's not included in Kibbutz Av. Some question maybe should be included in Mora, that it says, in a secular brother, since the parents didn't want me to marry that girl and I don't listen, maybe that's a violation of Mora. The fact is that it's not Mora, because they have no right to express an opinion on whom I should marry. They have the right to express an opinion, to discuss it intelligently, to try to guide. The parents have an obligation to guide their children. The mitzvah chinuch doesn't terminate when the children reach by mitzvah and bat mitzvah. That's when the mitzvah begins, that the parents should give more input. They should try to be mahanach the children more. And when it's time to get married, they should try to help them get married properly. They should help them marry properly. When it comes bottom line, and the child picks a nice person as his parent, and the parents are not happy with the choice, so strictly speaking, most of the people say that that's not included in Kibbutz Av. So parents have no right to express anything. Then the Rebbe then quotes the third reason that the post can give, why does not do the Kibbutz Av? He says, because Kibbutz Av is the shalat, but not the shalbein. It's our love, it says, you know, that my father wants to have this trip there in Israel. He tells me I should arrange it, and he's hinting I should pay for the ticket. And I say, yeah, give me a credit card and I'll be happy to arrange everything for you. So the Allah says, if my father has the money, I'm not looking to spend the money. Kibbutz Av Mishalah, the Lord Mishalah. So the Lord is going to quote to Shalim, if the son is not looking to spend money from his pocket, he's certainly more so, he's not obligated to be brokenhearted. He fell in love with this girl, and he's polishing to marry this girl, now the parents are going to break his heart. And so we want you to marry someone else. There's a limit to how far you will leave to go keep it up. I remember there was once a boy in the Shia. There was a bunch of brothers in the family. So the first one got married, the second one got married, and then the third one was a soicher. So he told me he got an offer, two old guys got an offer to go up to North Africa. I forgot who it was. So some place in North Africa to check this. He said, tell him that we're going to pay him a fortune of money, but if he's good, we're going to take care of his mother. His mother had a serious disease, and she had Bulgarian disease. And who's going to take care of the mother? So he says, well, his father was alive. The brothers, they lived around. Married brothers, they lived around. He says, well, who's going to take care of him? What's going to be, you're not going to get married? So he says, no, by the time he gets married, his mother will not be alive anymore. I think she's still alive. Because at that time, the life expectancy for the disease was not shorter. And they discovered, so they developed some new, not a cure, some new medication that extends the life. So he postponed his marriage a couple of years because of Kibbutz Av, because he wanted to serve the mother. The din doesn't require, someone has to take care of the mother, but the din doesn't require that I should give up my whole life to take care of the parents. someone's going to have to take care of the parents. You don't let them die. But it doesn't mean that children have to give back everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't require you give back the whole $1,000 gift. That's not our problem. It's just undid the whole favor. Okay, a little bit. Despite the fact that the parents gave everything, they gave their lives for the children when they were little children until they were 10 or 15 years old. But the children are not going to give away everything in their lives for the parents. They're not going to. If it's too difficult, it's not nuclear. So let's say it's not reasonable. The couple gets married and moves to California, and the wife's mother calls up, can you please come and help me go shopping or something? So that's unreasonable. She should travel all the way from California to New York in order to help the mother out. So that's what Tosha says, the Parsha Pshat. Ish tipik the other, ish ain't tipik the other, ish tipik the other. Usually the boy goes into the business with the father. He lives in the same community where the parents live, sometimes in the same house. In the same apartment, they moved in the same apartment years ago. So the son is near his parents, but the reason is to expect that he should help out the parents. Isha ain't thinking the other, because she's married, she has obligations to the husband and to the family. This will disrupt the whole ability of the whole family to function normally. Once in a while, it's understood, let's say the parents are pack of sick. They're old and feeble, and the wife has to pack a travel from California to New York to help take care of the parents. Once in a while, it is reasonable. But all the time, the wife should be running, even if the husband is rolling in money. Everybody's rolling in money. But the wife should always leave the husband and leave the children, leave the husband and not take care. So that's not right. In each case, you have to judge. Is it within reason or is it unreasonable? But that's the Pashup Shah. Ish tipik the other, Isha ain't tipik the other. It doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe Panshan has a children where you assume while luck of the demon. Whenever there's a conflict between Kibbut Aviyam and Kibbut Habal, the Kibbut Habal takes precedence over the Kibbut Aviyam. There's a tshuva that many have stopped and many people have misused. A man is being honored at the annual dinner, and his wife is an Avelu. There's never been any annual dinner. It's a social function. But if the wife is not going to show up when he honored the husband, the half of the people will realize that she's an Avelu. The other half of the people will think that they don't get along. So the husband pleads with his wife. You have to come. You're honoring me. How can I sit there without my wife? You're going to think that I'm going to hold it by getting divorced. So we don't get along. So the child is, but she's not allowed to go. It's a violation of Avelu. And Moshe has two positions. The position number one, he says, is that the observance of Avelu, the youth, they say, is yes, the disclosure is up, is only for parents. The other relatives, it does require. So the explanation that's given in Shevarach is that's because of Kibbut Aviyam. Really, the Avelim are more heartbroken when they lose their child, when they lose their spouse, when they lose their parents. The parents are 20, 30 years older than the children, so the parents pass away. That's normal. So why should there be more Avelim for the parents than it is? A person losing a child, they never forget about that. A person loses his spouse, they also never forget about that. Many times they never get over that. Lose the parents, most normal, healthy people do overcome that difficulty. And nonetheless, the dinner satyr says there's a longer observance of Avelu for the parents than for the children. So the answer is, that's what the Shach quotes in the Rishon. The answer is, Avelu is the same for everybody, Shiva and Shlosh. The answer to Kodesh is thrown in out of Kibbut Aviyah. The Ramosha assumed Kodesh number one, that the Avelu is the Kodesh is Kibbut Aviyah, it doesn't mean that because of this consideration, that's why the Chachamim introduced Avelu. Now he says that it's only a mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyah. That is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Kibbut Aviyah. Not that that's the motivation for the Chachamim to introduce a longer period of Avelus. It's not Avelus. The Avelus is over after this motion, and the Nihug, the observance of Yibbet Kedish, is a different thing of Kibbut Aviyam. The Kiddush number one. Then he has to refuse to be implying like that. The Kiddush number two, he assumes that whenever there's a conflict, he understands that that's the reality. Whenever there's a conflict, it's in Kibbut Aviyam. And Kibbut Aviyam, the Kibbut Aviyam takes precedence. Since the husband feels so uncomfortable, how can he go without his wife? They're gonna start rumors that he doesn't get along with his wife, and they're holding by getting divorced. But since this is going to affect negatively the Kibbut Aviyam, the Kibbut Aviyam is better than even Kibbut Aviyam. The pastor, Tosfos doesn't seem to learn like that. Tosfos seems to say each thing to the other means that the husband lives in the same community that the parents live, and each ain't to pick the other because they live in a different community. It's not that the Kibbut Aviyam takes precedence over the Kibbut Aviyam. It's rather that it's unreasonable to expect of the wife that she should travel to the other side of the world And it wasn't on me if the boy's parents live in California and the girl's parents live in New York and the couple lives in Eretz Yisrael. Suppose there would be Pasuk and they keep it out of here. What, they expect to come back? Every time his father or her father needs a little, this is unreasonable, or does he come back to New York? If it's doctor something serious and they need a surgery, they need someone to be with them, to comfort them and so on. Okay, so that's the effect that people do. Why? From one part of the world to the other, to help that parent. That's reasonable. But if it's something that's unreasonable, that's like Mishalab or Mishal Bey. Mishalab or Mishal Bey means that there's a limit to how much you're obligated to express that parent, okay? You're not going to give back the whole favor, but you're not going to do exactly the same as the parents did for you. Maybe it's a nice thing to do, but one is not material to do. It's a very neglected mitzvah. We keep it out of the air. Gemara quotes Abaye was an orphan. His father died before he was born. The mother died of childbirth. Abaye made a comment. He was brought up by his uncle, by Rabbi Nachmani. Some of the Rishonim say that the name Abaye is the Rashi Tera Shev Bokhoi Yerucham Yosem. But he was a Yosem. Whether it is or not, we know he's a Yosef. The Gemara says he had no parents. So he makes a comment, a very strange comment, says he's fortunate that he had no parents. He didn't have the historian to observe the mitzvah and keep it on here. It's so difficult. Most people really don't observe it properly. The Gemara Yendama says the Shabbos has a comment on the part of Kirah Kitzmah Elilu. The comment should have really been quoted in the other day in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. But because it appears in the end of Masechah Shabbos, in the middle of all other Hilchos Shabbos, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch quoted it in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos. In the same context that it appears in the Gemara. The Gemara has, that's why it's very hard to find anything in Shulchan Aruch. The things are not necessarily organized in the logical order. Usually Hilchos Shabbos is over here. Once in a while you find Hilchos Shabbos somewhere else, and Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam has things much better organized. Tell it, anyway, so the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch has this in Apitna of Elilim. What is not the limit to display any interest in any other religion? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu describes himself in the Kodesh as a Kel Tanor, as a jealous God, means like a jealous, sometimes the other couple who are married. And one of the spouses is very jealous. He's very upset when his wife carries on the conversation with other men. The wife is very upset when her husband carries on more conversations with other good-looking women, usually good-looking women. So sometimes it's reasonable, sometimes it's unreasonable. But that's a jealous lover. Kodesh Baruch Hu is described as a Kel Kanor. He's a very jealous guy. He doesn't want us to display any interest in any other religion. That guy's going to take a course in comparative religion. That's exactly what's prohibited. You're not allowed to, unless it's the Havana Lahar, unless the person feels that in his, you know, on an individual basis, if this person is going to become a prominent rabbi, he's going to have to work on relations with other religions, with interfaith relations. So you have to study comparative religion. Just to take a course in comparative religion, not thinking that you're going to go into that field. It's not going to allow. Al-Pitra al-Halila means you're not allowed to turn to the Avodah Zarah. Not only not to worship it, just to study, to find out what it's all about. That's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah in the first period. That in Yisrael Shebuchutzlor, the Jews who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, are all of the Avodah Zarah, the Tahara. They all worship Avodah Zarah without even realizing it. The Tahara. Well, what's the Tahara? Everybody reads the newspaper. And if you don't read the newspaper, the next door neighbor tells you what it says in the newspaper. So the newspaper always has all the descriptions of what's going on December 25th and January 1st, and what's going on this season of the year, Easter, and all the other times, everything is written up in the newspaper. People watch television, so they always show on the television the funerals that take place in the churches. The people are always, the Jews are always watching what's happening in the churches and everything. That's what the Marxists and social groups like the other day of the Tara. I remember when Kennedy used to be a president in the United States. There was President Kennedy. Somebody before you were born? I don't know. So President Kennedy was assassinated because they had a funeral in the church. So everybody was watching the funeral procession. So basically, he was so upset. He said, it's not the Shanisa, it's like going into the church. And they show it on television. He said, it's the same reason as going into a church, and it was a religious ceremony. The funeral that takes place in the church is a religious ceremony. They said that since the Goyim have Paskin in their religion that you can be going to mass by television, even if you don't go in person, It means if the guy is in, if the Ovid Abedizar sits here and he watches this show on television, according to their religion, he's participating in their religion. So if a Jew sits here and he watches this church service, the Jew is participating in Abedizar. They said it's the Zelda Isis, the same idea, is going into the church and participating. He said, you're not allowed to watch television when they're showing a church service, a religious service. That's the prohibition. I'll take the other one. The more talks about not looking, the more in the end of Masechta Shabbos says you're not allowed to study, you're not allowed to study art, religious art of other religions. You can have a painting of the Last Supper with the students eating the Kabbalah Pesach, whatever it is there. So you're not allowed to study or the Mother Mary or all the religious things. It's not because it's Asa Bahano. The thing is not Asa Bahano. But it's not Asa Bahano means there are actual idols that we actually worship. That's Asa Bahano. But these religious paintings, these are not Asa Bahano. A guy can be in the business and say, if you make money by it, you're not in the business to sell these religious items to those of that religion who are interested in them. But you're not allowed to display any interest in it, to study it in order to look at the facial expressions and so on. That's Asa. You're not allowed to study the religious art. That's half of the art that they teach in any given art course. Half of the art is religious art. The other half is, give me a light. Yeah, but it's all right, give me a light. As I mentioned before, have a blend of mitzvah shemunah machaber and mitzvah shemunah mamok, which keeps on going back and forth. I'll begin, there is a difference between the two. It's not that the mitzvah shemunah machaber are less serious than the mitzvah shemunah mamok, and we have certain differences between them that give the mistaken impression as if it's more cow. Say, for example, the dinners that essay, Zarechal Loisa essay, and it's especially in Zeicha Mitzvah Leitza, I see in some rare cases, it doesn't come up so often, there's so many requirements and conditions that it hardly ever comes up. But there is on the books, there is such a rule, so the Gemara has an expression in Baba Mitzvah about Lamed Aleph, I think, Nidachina Nisura Mikami Mamoyma, that Esther Zeicha Leitza is only if it's an Esther Shabir Al Mamoyma. And if it's an Esther Shabir Al Mamoyma, it's not Zeicha Leitza. The Gemara gives an example, that the Amit Kohen, and I'm not permitted to go into a cemetery, and the fellow in front of me is driving his car on the highway, and I see that his valise fell off at the top of the car, and he didn't realize it. He keeps on driving ahead, keeps on honking my horn, and he does this. The valise fell off, and it fell into the cemetery. And I know his license was there. I know who it is. Is there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Call him up on the cell phone. Or drive up to him and tell him you must be saying it's 20 miles behind in the cemetery over there. But I'm afraid if I'll drive up, he's going so fast, if I'll chase after him to catch him. So someone else may come to this belief that's in the cemetery. For the sake of Hashanah Zaveda, Sheikha dictates that I should stop at the cemetery, pick it up, and deliver it to him. But I'm a Kohen. So would you say, Esa Decha Loi Tesei, that Hashanah Zaveda is Decha Loi Tesei, a Tumas Kohanim? So the Gemara says wrong on two accounts. Much is number one, Tumas Kohanim is the next day Zillah Tesei, the next two days. In Emor, it says, the Kohanim are not permitted to be in the Tamei, the Mason. And then it says, Nevesh Lei Tam of the Amor, but then it says, Kedosh Yiyo Lo Lekeyem, I think. But the Gemara understands that a Kohen who violates any of these prohibitions, quite ashamed, but the razor also the same. Any kind of violates any of these prohibitions at the beginning of Parshas Amor is not only a violation of the essay of the life essay of Nefesh Lei Tam of the Amor, but it's also a violation of the essay of Goshen Yil Alokesh, Kosi Vlok. It's an essay of the life essay, and then that's a Bechal life essay of the essay. That's one reason we know this. Lei Tam gives another reason. The essay of Hashem Tzaveira is only an essay. That's how you might use this question. Only an essay should be not a Mahaveiro. An essay should not a Mahaveiro. It doesn't have a power to be Becha Eloi Sezi. So you get the mistaken impression that says, yeah, the rabbis assume it's only an essay should not a Mahaveiro. It's on a lower level. So since it's on a lower level, it's like a half a mitzvah, semi mitzvah. It doesn't have the full status of a full mitzvah. So that's why it doesn't have the power to be Becha Eloi Sezi. The Ramban, the tradition there, explains that that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that mitzvah should be matter machadeiro, unless avyadikor, unless binding the mitzvah should be less serious than mitzvah should be matter machadeiro. He says the yisoy, the basis of all of the mitzvah should be matter machadeiro, is based on the process that appears in the Chumash, v'yahachta v'yahachta kamecha. Believe it or not, that's from the Old Testament. Somehow the Christians forgot about that. They think it's only in the Gospels. They don't realize that's a pasuk in the Bible. It's in our Bible. So how could that come up? They think that they brought the concept of love to the world. After love, you know that it's a pasuk in Tumshi, Kashuk Kadesh. So the Ramban explains what it really has to the Rachel come up. It doesn't really mean love. It doesn't really mean an emotional feeling. How to develop an emotional feeling? So it's a person will be happy if he loves his wife, if he has a good relationship with his wife, and his children. So except that after that, he should love everybody very much. It means he should do kavulot. It's also Ramban has like that. Ramban says, why does he have to eat Hashem or Sefer? How can he say he has to la Hashem or Sefer? He says he has to live a Yafa. How can he say he has to Efer Yafa Kamoti? He says there's a difference. He says, because he's both of them, he has to eat Hashem or Kecher. It means that the mitzvah should be laid. That's when the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have a feeling of love towards the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after learning the Reach HaKamach, that means you should do pelulot. You should do proper activities, or refrain from doing certain activities, which the other person would want you or not want you to do. You should treat others the way you would want others to treat you. You wouldn't want others to ba'avel you, so don't ba'avel him. You want other people to help you out, so you have to help the other person out of it. Ramban claims that that's the difference in victory between the two. The after really after just means that we are required to have these pu'ulot, to do the correct actions for the others, and not to do certain activities. And after eit Hashem l'kechla means you should develop a sense of ahazo. So the Ramban explains that it's come to eit HaKodesh. Ramban and Limor explains, all of the mitzvahs should be not a machalera, basically rooted in this process, the after the l'achat HaKodesh. You have to treat other people's needs as if they would have been your needs. If I would have needed a little assistance, if my valise would have fallen off on top of my car, I would have appreciated very much that the guy behind me should give me back my valise. Not a claim. It's not a claim. So if I'm not a claim, then I see the other guy's valise to sell off. I have to do for him what I would have wanted other people to do for me. And I would not, whatever I would not want other people to do to me, I would not want. I'm obligated not to do that to other people. That's all included in the half of the Rachel Kamoch. So I'm obligated, let's say I'm a toy, and my valise fell off of my car, and I saw it. My valise rolled into the cemetery. So am I permitted to be in the common race in order to take care of my own avodah? Of course not. With the Eshi Bechalei Sefi, it is the whole nature of the mitzvah of Hashavat Avodah, merely means that I have to treat other people's needs as if they were my own needs. So it's my needs. So if it's any good, it's my Aveda. My Aveda, there's no hazard for me to be in the common nature. There's no hazard for me to take care of my own needs unless I have to self-take people up nefesh. But anything less than that, there's no hazard for me to, in order to take care of my own needs, to violate any of the mitzvahs of that time. So there's no hazard to take care of other people's needs. In order to take care of other people's needs, not have to violate any of the mitzvahs of them. But it doesn't mean, not that the Gemara meant to imply that it's a lower level of seriousness. No. Same level of seriousness as the mitzvah should be in order not much. But the nature of the mitzvah is different. So it does have to treat other people's needs as if it would have been my own needs. Sure. So my own needs I have to take care of. That's how the Gemara has it written. Let's say it's a zuck and vein and a seed voider. Let's say I'm walking in the street. A rabbi with a long beard and so on, he walks in the city, finds some women's underwear. So if it would have been his own wife's underwear, so let's say he doesn't have a pocket to put it. He wasn't going to walk around like this in the street. If it would have been his own abeda, he wouldn't take care of it, if it's an embarrassment there. So if it's someone else's abeda, he's not mechuyav to take care. If I wouldn't take care of it, it wouldn't be my own abeda, so I'm not mechuyav to take care of it. If it's someone else's abeda. That's all you say that didn't talk and they don't feel good. I'm not willing to do for others to a greater extent than what I would do for myself. If I wouldn't do it, if it would have been my own, then I'm not willing to do it for other people as well. The Gemara has another difference, there's several differences between fundamental differences between Adam and Chaver and Adam and Mar. There's another difference with respect to Kavod Aviv. We have an institution at Kavod Aviv that's based on the Pasuk, Lo Yitameh, Busted it in the early part of the year, and Pasha's, and no, next he says it. Says, the Kodim are not permitted to be in the town of Mesh, unless it's one of the seven relatives. Then he says, if it's the sister who died, no, you come on. Says, in Machlekesh, every Kivan Rabbi Shmuel, whether Roy Thomas is a Shus, he's permitted to attend the funeral, or he's obligated. The more he says, he's Pasha, and if you have a Kivan, already he's Man Bai Shemi, he's a dispute, and the Joyce get Pasha, like Rabbi Akiva. The Machlekesh repeated itself generation after generation. Every generation it was accepted like Rabbi Akiva's idea. Roy Thomas is a Chayva. And if the Kohen doesn't want to participate in the funeral of any one of these guys in Kohen, then the Talmud knows about Kohen. You force him to participate. So what does he say? I didn't know the Talmud. This is the marker of the institution of Kohen Rabir. The Kohen Rabir is Zerka the Yisra of Tumas Kohanim. And the Adonam is Zerka other Dinam as well. So the Gemara says, the Yisra of Tumas Kohanim is a weaker Yisra. So the Yisra Shem the Shavra Bakol. Usually Kohen Rabir is not Zerka the Yisra Zerayis. Usually it's one of the Zerka the Rakhoman. Usually it's not better than right. So the Gemara says that, but in a mitzvah should be not a machadelo, so then Kavar Abis is there. Kavar Abis is there. Say the Zokas, they know the people of it. It would be an embarrassment for me to go pick up the woman's underwear and start ringing all the bells, or single girls or something in the building. So I'm going to ring everyone's bell, I'll ask you, is this your underwear? If I leave the underwear there in the laundry room, in the summer, one of the guys will take it. And if I'll pick it up, and I'm going to start, if my wife is, I'm going to give it to my wife, give it to my daughter, so let them bring all of them. My wife and my daughters are in Eretz Yisrael. So if I'm going to go bring all of them, it's going to be an embarrassment. So that's a shadow. Is it really that embarrassing? Maybe I should hold it in a bag and give it to the girls, and ask them to please find out whose underwear this is. Okay. Maybe I can avoid the embarrassment. But if it's the case, then there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah without doing an embarrassment. So then I love it says the person is not mitzvah to do it. And of course, the Ramban says the same thing twice. The Gemara says the rule is supposed to be shalom in the nation. He wouldn't to save the $10. By humiliating himself. He wouldn't want to humiliate himself. Even though he knows that by being mocked that he's come to them to the $10. He's not going to do either Hashem is available for the other person either. It's not because the mitzvah should be not a machaber on a lower level of severity. The nature of the mitzvah is different. The honor of Chayyim to take care of other people's needs, considering that it would have been your own needs, or it would have been my own needs, would I have taken care of it or not? I'm not going to take care of other people's needs more than I would normally have taken care of my own needs. Unless I don't have so many needs, it's a different story. Some people have a greater appetite than others. So some people always say, I always fasting Sunday, he fasts every Monday and Thursday, he's always fasting, and then when he does eat so much. So that for someone, a normal person who doesn't fast on eight, he eats three meals a day, normal healthy person doesn't overeat. He has to be short and double, so I'm only giving so much to eat one meal every day, 5 days a week, minus Monday thing. That's not right. If I would have been a normal guy, I would have eaten three meals a day, 7 days a week. You have to give the other guy over. It's not based on mine, which you got. I'm not looking to take care of other people to the same extent I would take care of myself. I have a cook. If the other guy's normal, I have to take care of him to the same extent I would have taken care of myself if I would have been a normal guy. Anyway, you have this blend of sukkim. Sukkim go in and out. There's another machaber, there's another mamak, and then you have the din of the tnei ben lo titein lichshol. Moshe Feinstein claims that that's both another machaber and another mamak, and there's an interesting shiur. If may have been like the game that shown off the pastures, is the Rav Mahadev, don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind man, he shouldn't trip. Or let's say there's something that's trace. I'm going to feed a Jewish person non-kosher food. If he would have known that it's not kosher food, he would not want to eat this food. Let's say it's even only prohibited with the Rabbanim. This is a discussion in Rishonim. The Minchas Chinuch has statements for this topic. If I have butter the whole of the rabbanon, have chicken that is cooked in milk, I say. So if I give this to a religious Jew to eat, and he won't realize that I'm giving him non-kosher food, the whole Avera that he's only violating is only an Avera de Rabbanan, but the Chomer de Rabbanan. But my Avera that I give him this non-kosher food may well be an Avera de Raisa. If he would have known that it's non-kosher, he would never want to eat the non-kosher food. So my Avera could be that it's an Avera de Raisa, despite the fact that the whole Avera that he's violating is only an Avera de Rabbanan. So that's the Chuta Shemukur. It's maybe like you said, so you're not allowed to put his stomach block and try someone. Let's say, if I put his stomach block and the guy trips, the blind man trips. There's no Avera de Raisa, there's no Avera de Rabbanan. The blind man didn't do any Avera. I was not sure of the person. Something that I would have not wanted people to do that to me. So I'm not going to do it to other people. So the same thing. To give non-kosher food, even if the non-kosher food is only the Rabbanan, could well be that the violation of this food is an Avera de Raisa. Because that's the beloved Mahadeva. You're not allowed to do things to others that you wouldn't want other people to do to you. And then there's another aspect I know you point out to this leadership division. No, the other guy's not blind. He knows that it's trade. He wants to buy the trade of food. He wants to buy like the other. He's not religious. I have a liquor shop and another comes in with the long hair. Half of the customers in the liquor shop are long hair. They all look like they all want wine. So I'm not allowed to sell him wine. If he's really another, I'm not allowed to sell him. I'm not allowed to sell any wine unless he's giving it as a gift to someone. But he's half drunk as it is. It's pretty obvious that he wants to drink the wine. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to sell the yayin to another. Or you're not allowed to, let's say, give the Eveman Achai to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to help the person do the Aver. That's not an Aver, the non-Mahaver. The guy wants to do it. How can you say that it's an Aver, the non-Mahaver? You're not bothering him. The fact is that that's an Aver, the non-Mahaver. And you shouldn't participate in any other. You should avoid participation in any other. These mitzvahs of the Rav Haverah sometimes apply only to Jews, and sometimes apply even with respect to non-Jews as well. The pashtas, we generally, there are always exceptions, we generally distinguish between a mitzvah essay as opposed to a mitzvah right essay. Let's say a chobo bachadeh, loy tirkot, you're not allowed to kill someone. So loy tirkot is reasonable. You wouldn't want anybody to kill you. You're not allowed to kill other people as well. The chidush of loy tirkot, he's just a guy pleading with me. Please doctor, pull the plug. Let me die already. He's pleading with the doctor that he should kill him. So that's already a raver and maybe even another mamaka. That you're not allowed to do a mercy killing, even though the person is pleading ready to say with him. But the normal person was to accept the Bin Adam Ben Adam Mahadeh. He wants to come on to the Yachidish of the Bin Adam Mahadeh. So your Sikha is prohibited, you're not permitted to kill a non-Jew either. It's a double caution. The Mishnah happens to say, one kills a non-Jew, doesn't get the death penalty. The Yachidish is not the same. But the Yisr is still an Yisr of Mashiach, or La Yisr, Tel Yisr, you're not allowed to harm another person. You're not allowed to be coming up. The same Yisr applies to harm a Jew, to harm a non-Jew. Same Yisr. The prohibition, the student, in Allah Haver, apply equally to non-Jews as to Jews, generally speaking. Once in a while there's an exception to the rule, but the list is there, it's in Allah Haver. To do Asherah Taveda, to give a Halvoa, to give a Tetzah, to go be in Raka Chayla, to go be in Raka Mogul, and so on, to go out of your way, to be kind to other people, so that, basically, is only between Israel. I'm okay to do for others who I'm okay to return back to say that to me. And often I'm not mechuyev to do this to me. I'm not mechuyev to do it to them. Because this is not in the listing of the Shemim Muslim coming up. There would be mechuyev to reciprocate. The Mishnah says that are only obligatory if there's a reciprocity. I'm mechuyev to do for others, but why in turn mechuyev to do back to me? So the Nachman I'm not mechuyev to do back to me, so I'm not mechuyev to do for them in the first place. But the Mishnah's Leis Esay, I'm not based on the estate of the Mishnah's Leis Esay, Shemam Mahavera. It's not based on reciprocity. Whatever you would want, other people should not do to you. You're not allowed to do to them. You're not allowed to start off with another. Once in a while, there's an exception to the rule. Like, let's say, like, you're not allowed to talk to Chidus. You're not allowed to talk to Chidus is a law session. Based on the cloud, you should have applied equally not to talk to Chidus or not to speak Rosh Hashanah. It's also derived from the same person. Let's say, like, you should have applied equally whether one is speaking Rosh Hashanah against the Yisrael or an Akum. So that's what the pasuk says. No, beyond that, though. It's a hefter. The prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara doesn't apply if the Lashon Hara is spoken about a Nachi or about a Jew who's so far out and such an Afrikari Dira Gakon is also not called Amecha. That means Baita Maitam, there's no prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara. Why? Chavis says the Yisraelash Mahari is a documented form of Chavis Vahavera. So you may cause him harm in the long run. You're going to say the Chavis about him, say, nay, sometimes you say, Lash Mahari just destroy the guy's marriage. You ruin his whole business. So the Pashto says that Joshua Lash Mahari is not committed even against the Nachi, even against the Nachi. You're not allowed to kill him. You're not allowed to ruin his marriage. He's not going to talk Lash Mahari like that. But the kind of Lash Mahari, then we say, ah, the guy's a crook. I would never go shopping by him. He won't make $2 on you. He's going to make a good living anyway. So you're not going to be mechabin and stuff. So you get covered from other people anyway. Usually when you speak Lash Mahari, in many cases, when you speak Lash Mahari, she was about that much. It doesn't really destroy the other guy. It takes away slightly from the covered or from the big fat panas that he would make. It makes a dollar less than panas. It doesn't really affect them that much. Let's say someone asked me about someone like that, I said the guy's stupid. So you may not get a shidduch. The guy's going to get married anyway, he's stupid. I said the guy's stupid. He doesn't dress properly, whatever. So this girl is not going to marry you. He's going to marry someone else anyway. He's not going to really affect his well future of his life. So the Torah prohibits him from talking Lash Mahari because it's causing harm to the other person. But it's usually a dakistika harm. If it's really an obvious form of a harm, it's also even out the possibility, even connected to nothing, or even connected to the one of their eyes and like that. The dakistika is the type of a nazi. That's what the pasuk is limited. It's only the amet. It doesn't apply to the nafsh. Why is it such an insistence that Bnei Yisrael should be, even that Dr. Zikr Lash Mahari is also not allowed? Is it really barely going to affect us? It's hardly even going to be affected. The pasuk says, Vesikam 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 that the Tzama Nitzir is not allowed. What is the Tzama Nitzir all about? The Talmud Yerushalmi has an interesting notion. If a person is, let's say, cutting, there's a big chalamak and he's cutting chalamak and accidentally he cuts his finger. With the right hand he cuts the right hand, he cuts with the right hand. He cut his nitzir finger and then he starts to bleed. So will the left hand take the chalamak from the right hand and slap the right hand? It's the same body. It's two parts of the same body. So the Yishami says just like it doesn't make sense. If one organ should take the comma from another organ, so both parts of the same, both parts of the same organism. So too, the Ami Yisrael should realize that they're one big organism. They're not permitted to take the comma and the peer against another Jew. So that's why the Torah is so mocked not to make a hazard for a stranger. So that's not allowed. Even if the stranger is a rock, you're not allowed to make a hazard. This Dr. Zika Hezek of Lashon Hara, Dr. Zika Lashon Hara, it's not really going to be a major hazard. So that's the Torah restricts that someone will say, well, but they are Necho. If the other party is a Nachri, or a Yisrael Shemesh, and my son, there's no prohibition. So why is it prohibited to be Yisrael? So that's based on this idea that the Yisrael have to act as if they're one organism together. That's the idea of Kol Yisrael HaRevi is as it says, isn't it? There's a din of HaRevi. Another thing is a cult sign, which we see. The Rebbe wants to buy money from the Malva, and the Rebbe is a poor man, by definition. That's why he's buying money from the Malva. So the Malva is afraid, I'm going to lend him money. He's never going to pay it back. He's borrowing $1,000 to pay up $100,000 debt that he owes to everybody in the world. I'm never going to get back the money. So let's say the Malva doesn't want to lend him the money, and let someone else cult sign. Unless you have an order. So the order doesn't become united with the Rebbe. Or if it's a cosign, he said, if the lady doesn't pay, I'll make whoops, I'll pay the money. We say, come to our rabbis as a jet, means more than stam our rabbis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish me if he doesn't take care of his mitzvahs. I allow him, if I see him doing our rabbis, but I see that he's not doing mitzvahs, Yeshivik the other, Yeshivik Limchas the other, if I have the ability. If I don't have the ability to be Merchat the other, look, there are Jews all over the world who are doing Averis. Jews in New Zealand, Jews in South Africa doing Averis. I'm going to be punished because they're doing Averis. Can't be. The Gemara says it's only if they're Yeshivik the other to give Machor, to do something about it. So we shouldn't think that Kol Yisrael HaRevi just means like an Arab, like a Kodan, a stranger. You tell me possible that someone else knows more than that. The Israel are supposed to consider themselves as if there's one big organism. Allah says that the Baal Tekeya is most of the tzibur has to be a bachiyuv. You can't believe the dover, and the most of the rabbi the derech hazos. I remember a woman was once crying to me. She was so disturbed. Why can't she be there about the kayam? She was. I explained to her, why do we treat the women as such a long object? The woman can't be about the kayam. She was. The prince, you don't have a book. Just the principal heard it somewhere. I said, the rule is only one can be much the other if he's Mukhid. But then, not Mukhid, then can be much. No, you're discriminating against the women. If she would have tried that we're discriminating against women, why the women are caught up in the Shaker, I understand why she's crying. No, that somehow she's not crying about that. Somehow explained that to her. The women are caught up in this defense, which I've done wrong. But bothered her was why she can't think about the chaos. That's the rule. The only one who can be much the other than the other is one of Mukhid the other. You can't be much of the other. I don't know what's so difficult about that. But the best part of the care and Yeshua is a woman, or the best part of the care is a Nakri, or a Hershey is a cotton, I'm not saying that the women are like Shaitan, the women are helpless. They're saying the women are like cotton. What's so difficult? We're not comparing one to the other. Whoever's not Mukhid, they're getting up to the other. But the problem is that we do it all the time. The Baal Tekeh blows the shul, everybody goes. He goes home and eats his meal. Then he goes to the hospital later. He goes again for the sick patient in the hospital on the old age home. He's not looking at the dover anymore. Sounds like he might be that chayrin. So the mother says, that's okay. The woman is yatsa, might see. And that mission in the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara has that formula. Yatsa, despite the fact that he has already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiyah Shekhar, he's still called Mukhid the Dover to the extent that he can only get the Chayim of the Chagotim. Why is that so? The Rashi writes, and all the Bishayim quoted from the Rashi. Rashi writes, and that is not because Kol Yisrael are raised in the desert. What does it mean, are raised in the desert? It means more than Stamak Kol Sain. That I have to make good if he doesn't do the mitzvah. No, it means I'm called Mukhid the Dover. As long as there's any Jew in any part of the world who hasn't yet fulfilled this mitzvah of Shaper, or Tzitzis, or Nugos, or whatever it happens to be, it means that I haven't completely fulfilled my mitzvah. I'm still Mechuyi B'dover. I'm still in a sense, even though I do Shaper and Lamahabim and Lamahabim, I wasn't fully yet. As long as there's another Jew in the world who wasn't yet, so I'm still Mechuyi because we're one organism. We're one organism. It's not sound like an organism, a separate person from the Lord. Kol Yisrael Arayim B'dover means that it's one organism, and we're all still Mechuyi B'dover. As long as there's someone else, and if another person does an Averis, then this is just part of my organism, it's only Averis. Not that I'll be held responsible for his Averis. It's considered, is this my left arm to be Averis? Is my left toe to be Averis? I'm involved in the Averis. It means more. Kosar already said that it means more than some, an Ares like an Ares who is the co-signer for the religion. One of the many demons, all the variety of demons, one of the many demons in the parasha is the Solom Kodosaka Yitzchak Doiker. Special demon is the separate Chaloshen Tashmim and Ankuula Sokhi. The demon of the Solom Kodosaka only applies to the Spirit's payment. It doesn't apply to, let's say, to Dimeha Mecca, or like what's the merchandise. There's no law that says they have to hustle and pay up the money before the day is up. Or with Mazik is Khadir, I have to quickly run to the bank and pay the money immediately. That's very nice. We just like to do that. They ask him for apology. But you know, we used to pay the most in the stuff. The song is a special thing only by serious prayers. That's what Tatum points out. The Tatum's the time of the time of the time of the end of the seal. There's another special thing that only applies to serious prayers. That if the worker insists that he wants to be paid in cash, you have to pay him in cash. Let's say someone fixed my washing machine. What do you need to do? Fix my washing machine. And then he says, that'll be $180. I say, oh, I don't have any cash, but I have a lot of sperm that I didn't sell. I have a lot of nefesh haram. I have a lot of other sperm. I have a lot of old sperm that I'm trying to get rid of. I give you $180 worth of sperm. He says, no, thank you. I want cash. So the dean says, I have to go to the bank and get him cash. Allah says if he insists that he wants cash. Unless he insists that he wants cash in order that he should be off the books, he doesn't want to pay taxes. That's criminal. That's legal. That's the condition. And that'll help him cheat the government. But if he wants cash, because he wants to buy food for his children, what's he going to do with his wife? Find a farmer worth $180, but he doesn't want to go waste time selling this one. So the Rambam says, if he insists that he wants cash, you cannot pay shari cash, even though you don't have any cash. The Rambam says, he, the worker, the employer can tell the boy, your job is being right, he's busy. You go work and get some money, and you pay me cash. I insist I want to get paid in cash. There are other differences also between Tashlim is clear as Pervin as opposed to other Chiyuvim moments. So he says you have to treat them. You're not allowed to look down on the employee. It's not that the boss is the boss, employer, and he looks down at the employee. But there are many rights in the Gemara involved in the Seer that it would appear that the Seer of Pervin is not his Chavit Nidah. It's not that in my kindness and my graciousness, I agreed to tell you a salary because you did it for me. No, the halacha, the Torah imposes a fee upon the person. We have to make up in advance how much the job is worth. But once we make up it's worth $180, it's not that the employee has to pay, it's not I have to pay the mechanic for fixing the automobile or for fixing the washing machine, because I agree it's a privately done. No, it's not a privately done. The Torah imposes the fee. The halacha says that the boss has to pay the workers. It's a different attitude. Different outlook, how you look on the workers. The workers are not treated as if they're a lower class citizen. Now it's a goodness on my heart to have to pay them money. The Torah has all these special cushions. The only keep these car and you have to pay down for kids. Special Allah. The Medrash has a fascinating comment. Thank you. Savoy Avoyt and Atazim Kovayt Michael. And the Psalm therapy skill that you'll plant trees. Like the Halakit, they went there to start planting trees. It was a joke. We were little children, so everybody was collecting money for the JNF and planting trees and that's the stuff. So the Medrash Rabbah has a comment on the Pashut that it's a fulfillment of a halakha of the Drachas to go in the ways of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Pashut Bereshit says, "Vayit Hashem Elokim gan in the Eid in the Kedah." The first thing Rav Hashem did was that he planted a garden. He planted trees. So to the Medrash Rabbah, when the commentary says they have to plant trees, they have to go in the ways of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Probably what he's driving at is that we should all be involved in development of the world, the development of society, to build up the world. It's a mitzvah, not just a gimmick, a way to make money, a way to get food to eat. If you don't plant, you won't have any apples. You won't have any apples, you'll go hungry. Yeah, it's not just a hesitancy, no. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands men that we should improve the world. Through who never thought the Cheshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to develop the world, to go in His way, just like He's created, that He wants us all to be creative and productive and to do good things. We shouldn't frown upon the farmer. They're going in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though the Pasuk says, He's the Vayir al Ha'aretz, the Pasuk describes the laws of planting trees at the first 3 years of Sodom, and next year is going to be Kerem Revai, or Nether Revai. I think it's in the Gemara, whether the Din of Revai, the fourth year only applies to grapes, but applies to all trees. The fact is most of the Rishonim assume that Orla, the first 3 years is Orla, applies to all kinds of, the fact is called a nut, any tree that bears fruit. The fourth year, that's the Machlegi Tatana. That's not the Pashto, that's the Machlegi Tatana. The Balamor points out there's a Rashi, Balamor quotes a Rashi in one place, the Rashi says that according to the Tana who holds it, it's only the Din of Revai only applies to grapes, even the Din of Orla only applies to grapes. So that's really Rashi says that's really an obscure secret. The Pashto says certainly not like Rashi says. When the Kaiser tolerates Malcolm, any fruit bearing tree, as the Din of Orla, the fourth year is the Machlokes Satana. Is it only restricted to grapes, or does it apply to all fruit bearing trees? When the fifth year says Hashanah Hamish, the laws of Orla are over. The first 2 years finished. The fourth year, the Netzavai have to bring it to Yerushalayim. It's Kodesh. They have to either bring it to Yerushalayim and either they have to push it to Kaira, or be toided and bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy Masata Baboka Basana Bayayin and Mashiach. They have to buy some food and eat the food that Jews are trying to share. But the fifth year, everything is okay. Mashana Hamishin, Tokla Syria, everything is Musa and no problems whatsoever. That's the simple reading of the question. The fifth year, everything is Musa. The Rambam quotes a psak from some of the Gaon, which he says is a Shigigat Hayro. He says the Imam has made a mistake in Jewish Amiris and Kulish. The Gaon will have the opinion, Vashon HaChamishu, Tovra Tiryon, is a Hemshech of the Vashon HaRaviyah. The Pasuk Chof Dalet here is compared to Tef. In Parashat Kedoshim, the Pasuk Chof Dalet, it says, Vashala Harazi is the parents that grow in the fourth year. I told you she lived in Hashem. That's Nedr Revai, a Kerem Revai, whichever position you adopt. Kerem Revai means it only applies to Yates, and Nedr Revai means it applies to Kolechma, Titan Kolechma, all trees, all fruit bearing trees. So the fourth year the parents are Kodesh, what do you do with it? So the Gemara says, if you want to eat it, then you shall line so. If you want to eat it, put it to you shall line, you have to be Kodesh, and then take the money to you shall line the car. So after you Kodesh and Nedr Revai, then you're permitted to eat. The parents that used to be Nether Rabbi, even Chutzli Yushalayim, when are you allowed to eat the parents Nether Rabbi? So some of the Gaonim wrote in this one, Vashon HaHamish is Tav Lasteria. After you told it, the Nether Rabbi, you take the money to Yushalayim, whatever you have the first opportunity, and the parents can be eaten in Chutzli Yushalayim only into the Shana HaHamish. The Tami Ganarach, does he have a retreat? The Tami Ganarach is going to come to Shana HaHamish. That's how the Gaonim understood. The Rambam says, "You should give a chayruch." Mamash, a mistranslation of the Pasuk in Rosh. Shana Hamish is talking about two. Doesn't go on the parents in the fourth year that you were quoting one in Chutz Mishlan. Means the parents that grow on the fifth year. And I have to grow. You can do whatever you want. Where did the Gaonim get such a wild idea from? This is really wild. Where did he get such wild ideas? That's not their fault. The Talmud Yerushalmi has one opinion on it. Parak Mashuach Mochama. The last parak in the end of Masechet Sotah, the parak Mashuach Mechamah. So the Mishnah talks about the details of the Pesukim of Chumash, that if it's a Mechamah of Shuls, there are certain people who are exempt from going to the war. Mechamah is the Hakal Yotzim, they dress everybody to the army. They need everybody. Mechamah of Shuls are not supposed to dress everybody. So it says, Mishnah, Hashanah Tekerem Ulochim, Mishnah, Shalit Yishu, Ulochach, Mishnah, Shalpan Abayit, So what does that mean? Not the Karen, the Lo Chilimo. He planted a vineyard and he didn't yet enjoy the terrace on the fourth year. He wasn't paid in the Neter Revaya on the fourth year. He didn't have a chance to be paid in the Neter Revaya on the fourth year. So the Yishalmi has a discussion with Terek, Mashiach Muhammad, not Mishnah, not the Karen, Lo Chilimo. What does the Pshat and the Pasuk mean? Vashanachni, the Yishalmi has two opinions. Whether the pshat is like the Rambam says, that's the accepted pshat, or the pshat is like these Gaonim. That the parents that grow in the fourth year, that you are told that you can only eat Chutz Yerushalayim after it reaches the fifth year. You can't eat them in the fourth year, even after you were told. So we know that the Gaonim got it from. The Rambam says, it's still a Shikika Chayra. He says, we don't accept that opinion of Yerushalayim. We accept the other opinion. So once you're told that you can eat it right away. Let's talk about Adam. The Gemara has many levels of interpretation in the Pasuk. How do you find the image for Tanezin that some of you? The Gemara has many levels of interpretation in the Pasuk, and we assume that all of the interpretations are correct. They're all Achaziba, the King, Shabbat, and Shemite. The Mikareth, and Yosef, the Kamatam. You have one Pasuk, and it has many different levels of interpretation. We accept all of the levels of interpretation. Which one is the Pshut Lashon Mitzvah? That's the problem. That's the question. Which one is the Pshut Lashon Mitzvah? The Ramban has these famous suggestions. He claims that the Chumash is alluding to another Zara ritual that we used to have. We used to slaughter an animal and just have a puddle of blood in the middle. They all knew that the blood circulation keeps the animals alive. The Chumash says, yeah, I don't know, they all knew. In the medical world, they didn't discover until a few centuries ago. But in the Chumash, it says, Ki Adam Ula Nefesh, that the blood circulates and the whole body keeps the body alive. It's entering the animals, Ki Adam Ula Nefesh goes. The original Pasuk goes on the animals. The more things it applies to humans as well. Ki Adam Ula Nefesh. So the Yomus Ha'evam realized that the blood represents life, Ki Adam Ula Nefesh. So that's what he used to do, some kind of a, they thought that life is separate from the God of heaven above. He used to have some kind of a ritual where they would slaughter an animal, and the Damshan Hashanah Yosef would form a puddle on the ground, so they would have a huddle where all the people would sit around in a circle around the puddle of blood. They would make some kind of incantations, and they would think that this blood represents the Lakus or something, some kind of a ritual. So that's the Ramban says, that's the Pshut Lashondika. Lashok Lo Aladam, you're not allowed to eat in such a Chabur, you're not black kosher, you speak of all kinds of legitimate. But it's sitting around and it's relating this blood to the Kayakh and Akut, to the Kayakh Achiyuk. So that's an Avodah Zarah ritual, you're not allowed to do that. But the Nahashur, you know, so many of these are all forms of Mikush, of superstition, which the Kayakh Prohibit. Sakifa Patroishkan, the Rambam's, the Rambam puts in the end of Hilchot Avodah Zarah, because in the Mar and the Rukhan he writes, and he writes the same in the Mishnah Torah. He claims that this is put together here, this was a practice of the old Avodah Zarah. They used to be clean shaven, they used to shave their beards and shave their hair, so that's why we call them Galachim. They used to shave off their beards and their hair, so they're called Galachim. The Shulchan Aruch they call Lapi, it's called the Ksav Galachim. Because the masters were illiterate, they didn't know how to write. The only ones who knew how to write were the Galachim. So the Ramah called it the Ksav HaGalachim. The Ksav other than Ksav Rashur, other than the Hebrew script. They call it the Ksav HaGalach, an interesting one. So the, that's why the Rambam puts it in Hilchot Avodah Zarah. Let's not keep it past Roshchem. Let's ask it to Yadzi Banecha. The Rambam in the listing of the Minyan HaMitzvot count, each one is one mitzvah. Let's not keep it past Roshchem, and I'm going to cut off the tail. Let's ask it to Yadzi Banecha, and I'm going to shave with a razor to shave off the beard. The Rambam has Hatzok is not only on the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has Hatzok is on the Sefer HaMitzvot as well. So this Rambam has a Hatzogah. He writes, Lav la nakif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashtif, lav la nishkat. It sounds like he's mastering on the Rambam. Why the Rambam only counted it as one law? If I go to a Jewish barber and I tell him to shave off my face and shave off my beard with a razor, so the barber is over and over, and the customer is over and over, both over and over. The Gemara says, how do you know? So it says, lo sakifu, in the plural. Lo sakifu is an atara la makif and an atara la nikif. Neither by lo sashtif, doesn't say lo sashtifu, but nonetheless, the perceptor says explicitly that the avera applies to both the barber and to the customer as well. It is the old Gerson there, I think. The old Gerson there, right? You look in the beginning of the Yana Hazok, he has the take on this. He has the old Gerson there, right? It is, Lav la makif, lav la mikaf, lav la mashkiz, the low la mishkaz. So the old reading there, right, it has it, that the writer is commenting that it says, lo sakifu in the plural, so there's an avera on the part of the barber as well as on the part of the customer. But as far as Hashvatus Pasazokan, it's only Lav La Mashchit and the barber below La Mishchat. There's no avera on the part of the customer, but it says it in the singular, it doesn't say it in the plural. So the pasuk, so because Mishnah says that that's not correct, it's against the preceptor. The preceptor writes explicitly that the customer is also a violation. So they're both written in the same pasuk, so there's a hekesh between the sakifu and the tashkir. So the simple reading of the more correct reading in the writer is, he's asking a different, he's asking a kasha on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam only count that it's one lav? He should have said one lav on the barber, one lav on the customer to have the pay cut off, and one lav on the barber, and a fourth lav, a third, and a fourth lav on the barber, and on the customer, not to have the beard shaved. The Rambam is asking why the Rambam didn't count each one as two lav. And the Rambam holds no. He only counts each one as one lav. Each one on the barber and on the customer is one lav. Each one on the barber and the customer is one lot built by the payers, Pasha Rosh, and the Pasha Zohar. Rav Elbelot Zahreni gives a very interesting idea. So I think he said that this Raidin is Lushitosa. Raidin in Hasabit on the Sefer HaMitzvah is Lushitosa and Hufus Avodah Zarah. I'm going to quote all, in the end of Hufus Avodah Zarah, I'm going to quote all the demon of cutting off your payers. But then the Rambam writes to them, that if I sit in the barber chair and he shaves off my payas, I don't get malchus because it's a lav shame on my. But if the barber says, can you please tilt over in an unusual way, please lean over, I'll be able to shave off your beard, so then I get malchus also. Not only the Jewish barber gets malchus, the customer also gets malchus, it's a lav shame on my. The Rambam is quoting the Gemara, that's all. Nothing shared with the Rambam. So there's a hasafas haraida there. Right? Usually the Rambam, most of the time the Rambam is in disagreement with the Rambam. Once in a while he's interpreting the Rambam. Once in a while he's giving a theory. Once in a while we're not sure whether he's disagreeing or he's interpreting. So the Rambam writes the whole paragraph there. He says, yes, the customer doesn't get malchus if he just sits there longer unless he's self-sober. But he's over that there. If he allows the barber to shave off his payas or to shave his beard with a razor, the customer is in violation of an aver. But it's a la shame on maise. And if he leaves over, then he converts it into a la shame on maise. Very nice. Tosis and Bavli too, right, like that also, and that here. Probably the Rambam also agrees. The Rambam is probably not disagreeing with the Rambam. He's probably just commenting that's what he thinks the nature of the demon. So the character is usually thinking that the Rambam is disagreeing with the Rambam. So he puts up the dukes, he's going to defend the Rambam. What do you have to defend the Rambam? And he says the Rambam is wrong. The rabbi didn't argue with the Rama. Just write that it's a law, it's a law shame on my life. You may not be making it a law shame on my life. The Mishnah says, no, the Rambam holds not like the rabbi. The Rambam holds the custom is not in violation of any Avera whatsoever unless he leans over. He's not Avera at all. How did you know that? That's no. The Rambam didn't say anything to lead you to believe like that. The Radavel of Soloveitchik is quoted as having said he thinks that the Ketav Mishnah is right in the Kabbalah of the Rambam. He thinks that that's the Machlokes we should trust him in an Indian Hamitzvah. That the Rambam's opinion is that Lo Sakifu is only counted as one Rav, and Lo Sashu is only counted as one Rav, because the real prohibition is only on the barber. If the customer leaves over, he becomes the barber. If he's helping the barber, he's also helping to do the Hakosa or the Hashkosa. And the Rambam argues when she talks, and the Rambam says, no, there's two prohibitions. There's one Rav on the barber, and there's one Rav on the customer, not to allow your pays to be cut off, not to allow your beard to be shaven with a razor. So you're in violation, the custom is in violation of the Avera, even if he does Eimo Maisa. If he does the Eimo Maisa, then he gets Malkus. If it's Eimo Maisa, he does an Avera without Malkus. But there's a separate love on the custom and a separate love on the father. And he thinks the Rambam, which he does, it only counts the Easter on the father and the custom is one law, both by the Hakotas Arosh and by the Hashos of Klaas HaZokon. The Rambam would think that there's only one love, hates the love is on the father. The customer, the sitzker, is never ever anything. Unless he's Misaleya, then he becomes a barber. It's consistent that he shaved off his own Kiddush. I don't know if you would have asked me, I don't understand why she can't go to keep her school up. In one part of the English, here the Sof La La Da. So the Rambam quotes, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot has a whole spiel about the Sherish Tev. He quotes all the six interpretations that the Gemara gave in Sanhedrin. He says, don't think that you should count it as six lavas. Or Sof La La Dam six times, only one part of the Kiddush. So you count it as one lav, despite the fact that it includes six, seven prohibitions. So he wrote, Lo Sakim and Pasaret, and only one part of that counts once. You can say it's a lav on the barber and a lav on the customer. The both are the lav independently. Not that the customer, if he leaves over, becomes the barber. No, there's two lavas, but they're only counted as one lav in it. And the million of it only counts once. So there's only one part of. I don't understand this whole, what was the rabbi's logic over there? The rabbi once, the Rambam should count it twice. Lo Sakifu in the plural should be counted twice. And Lo Sashri, even if it's singular, should also be counted twice. Problem there with that rabbi. Not sure exactly what he's like. Okay, they have signs up that all the single people should be tested next week for the Zohar Shabbos. It's a good idea. Not a bad idea at all. A little announce of prevention is what people will get married. Why should you marry whoever's a family?